Well, I've already started watching Christmas movies, the cheesy Christmas movies. I wait till December for the good ones. But we decided this year that November needed a little bit of help. I don't know if you ever feel that way. November is a gray, kind of cold. The weather shifts from nice fall to cold, gray, rainy. There's not a ton to celebrate in November, and so we just decided this year we're going to bring Christmas back a little bit into November and start our celebrations early. So I've been watching cheesy Christmas movies for 2 weeks already, and I don't know if you noticed this, but the vast majority of Christmas movies have the exact same plot, the cheesy ones and the good ones. It goes something like this. There's the main character, and they are a little bit too self-absorbed. Sometimes they're too busy with work, and they're ignoring family and stuff like that. Sometimes they're too into money or fame or all these other things in life that get them all caught up, and they've got all these other kind of personal problems that are going by the wayside while they focus on this. And then there's a crisis moment. There's something that happens in their life that draws them out of their everyday routine and changes their perspective. If they're dating a jerk somewhere in the middle of it, they break up with that person. They find true love, usually with a simple person who lives out in the country somewhere. And in those moments, they get some perspective and they start to think about what's truly valuable in life and how they should be living. And by the end of the movie, their whole perspective has changed and they become a different person. Cheesy ones, the classics, all of them kind of have that same plot. The vast majority of Christmas movies, I have found that out. Well, this weekend is Black Friday. I'm not sure if any of you guys picked up on that. If you were out sometime on Friday or even yesterday at a mall or a store and noticed that people, you know, this is the kickoff to the shopping season. We're coming into Christmas where for a lot of us, our schedules are going to get busier, busier, busier. Our budgets are going to get stretched out. Things are going to go a little bit crazy. Well, what I'm hoping this morning, before we get to a crisis point, is that today we can be drawn out of our everyday world, our everyday routines and lives, and we can gain a little bit of perspective and maybe think about what's truly valuable and worthwhile in our lives and maybe have that bit of a paradigm shift and a change in how we live and maybe even how we celebrate this Christmas. Today, we've already heard about it. We're kicking off our Be Rich campaign. This is something that we do every year at this time of the year where we exercise our generosity. We express the love and the joy that we have been given, that we believe God has provided so much for us. And so every year what we do is we pick a number of projects that we think are really exciting, that God has laid on our hearts, that we're planning to do. Some of them are in kind of our church walls and things we're doing around here. And then we also partner with an organization outside of the church in order to bless some people who are in need over the Christmas season. And so today I'm really excited because I want to share with you what we believe some of those projects are. And I'm hoping that today you'll get excited and prayerfully ask out of this how you might be part of this and how you can participate in funding some of the projects that we have going this year. One of the things that I love about you, that I love about our church, what I really believe about us is that we are a group of people who are on mission together. We're not a group of people who just come and meet on a Sunday morning and sing a few songs and hear a little message and go away. But I believe that I have seen over the years a group of people who really want to do what God has called them to do, really want to make a difference in the world. And that's really what today is all about. So what I want to do today, really, I want to tell you basically the story of how we chose the projects and the targets that we have for this year, just from my heart and my experience over the last number of months as we've planned it. And again, for you to go away thinking and praying about how you might be part of this. So back in the summer, all the way back in July, I sat down with our board. And that's the time when we do a lot of the financial planning around here. We set our budget for the year, and we talk about things like this. And we set our target for our end of the year campaign. Our Be Rich is stuff that's above and beyond our regular operating expenses and the regular giving that we have here at the church. And so we sat down and we talked about it. And there's some math that goes into that. Kind of in church world, you can look these things up that you know, there's certain percentages. How much money do you think you can raise for extra projects every year? You look at your total budget and how many people you have, and you kind of work the numbers and decide what's sort of maybe a bit of a stretch, but something that's reasonable that you can do. And then we kind of pray through some of the things that we think are really important for us to do, and we put some numbers next to it and do some planning around how much things will cost. And so I want to tell you what those projects are. So we sat down again back in July and mapped out three things that we would really love to do. One of them is, if you've been around for a while, you know that we've been working on what we're calling our legacy campaign, which is really a renovation of our entire building. We started a while back with our kids wing. And if you have kids, you've been up there and you've experienced that, creating a safe and functional and clean space for our children, because we believe in the next generation, because we love them and care for them. Last year, so many of you donated to make sure that we could do our bathrooms downstairs, and that's amazing, and those are beautiful and awesome. This year, there's a couple of more things that we really need to keep working on in our building. Our ultimate goal is to take the space in our lobby and where our offices are here on the other side of this wall, knock out all those walls. We want to be able to put in a bathroom that is on our main floor, accessible for everybody, so that there's no stairs for people who maybe can't do stairs. We want to create an incredible space for the community to be able to come in and for people to meet together and to be here and to interact with one another. To do that this year, we need to move our offices. So we're moving them from here downstairs. And so that is a huge part of what we need to do this year, along with our youth room. So again, the next generation is so important to us, and our youth meet downstairs at the end of the hall. And if I'm being really honest with you, it's a hurting room. And we need to make that more functional. We need to make it a place where our youth want to come, want to spend time in, because we believe that it's so important what's happening in our youth programs, junior high and senior high, at that pivotal age where we want to be able to have influence on their lives. And our youth leaders are incredible and doing some amazing things. We need to get behind them and make sure that they have a place that is inviting and welcoming and functioning for our youth. And so part of finishing off downstairs in our renovation is going to make sure the offices can be moved and the youth room is amazing and super fun. The next thing is some video equipment. So as we create environments around here, one of the things we know, and almost all of you have probably experienced this, is that nobody comes to see us here or check us out on Sunday morning without first going on our website. And we are always wanting to catch up, try and catch up technologically. And one of the things we want to do is be able to post some of our Sunday morning stuff, messages on video on our website, and make sure that we give people a great picture of who we are and what they can expect. And for those who can't make it out, to have a great experience online when they're not here, so that they will want to be here, come here, and really experience the community here. And so we need some equipment to kick that off. And we want to do that in the new year. And so that's our second project. And then the third one is, like I said before, every year we partner with an organization that we believe is doing great things in our city, someone that is doing things better than we could do them. And so we do some research and we vet them and we make sure that if we're asking you to give us money that we're going to give them, that they're an organization that is financially sound, good practices, and that is doing incredible things. And so this year, we have done a lot of that research with Food for Kids. Food for Kids is just down the street on Whitney Avenue is their office. And we're going to hear more about this in a second, but they realize that there are a lot of kids in our city who basically all the food that they get is from school programs, the before and after school programs. And there was a realization that for many of these children, when they went home on Friday, that between Friday evening and Monday morning, there was nothing for them to eat. Nothing nutritious, sometimes nothing at all, sometimes not enough. And this organization was birthed out of the need to say that here in our city in Hamilton, there are hundreds of kids who are going hungry that we need to make a difference for. And so we spent some time researching with them, and we just love what they're doing right here on our street, working right here in our city. And we are excited to be able to feed a number of kids. And so we set this this target, and we wanted to raise enough money as part of this to feed 10 kids for the entire school year. So if we could take 10 kids and make sure that we gave enough money that they would be covered for an entire year, that would be awesome. So our total price tag, our total target for those items, those projects, is $30,000. And we thought that's a goal that will stretch us, but also one that's realistic that we could hit. And we wanted to put that out to you. And so back in July, that was the plan, and we were ready to go on with it. Now, in the summertime, something a little bit unusual happened to me. I started getting these calls or emails from people. I got a handful of them, about five. And I don't know if you have these kind of people in your life, but they all came from people in my life, most of them who don't go to this church, who I feel like have, they're just in tune to what God is doing. Do you know those kind of people where you just, they just seem like more than other people. They just have this spiritual sensitivity. And all independent of each other, I don't think any of them actually know each other. Maybe one or two of them know each other. But I got five different messages. And the messages were all the same. And they essentially were this. They said, Dave, I've been praying for you and your church. I want you to know that I just feel like God is telling me to encourage you to listen to what he might have for you guys. And they all kind of put in and said, maybe it looks different than anything that you thought it would look like, but I'm just encouraging you to listen to what God has for you. And none of them said what they thought that would mean or what they thought God was going to say, just that. But I heard it over and over and over, and it was a great reminder for me to slow down and to stop and to really ask, what is God calling us to do as a church? Where is God leading us? What does he want us to do? Who does he want us to be? And to know that we don't want to just come up with plans and make up our own thing, but we want to be following what God has for us. We want to do what God has for us to do. So when I really am focused in on this kind of thing, when I'm trying to listen to God's voice, that can be a mysterious thing. Have you ever tried and do that? Sometimes when I've done that, I don't seem to hear anything. It doesn't seem any different. Other times, I feel like God speaks, but not in the way that I thought he would. Sometimes I think I can feel that God is telling me something. Sometimes it's not emotional at all. Sometimes I think he speaks through people that just say things that just hit me the right way. Sometimes it's through the scriptures that I'm reading. Sometimes it's through ideas that just pop into my head that become so strong. And I don't know, you might have a whole different experience. It never looks quite the same for me, but I really just dedicated myself, and I've tried to get back to that space as much as I can, as often as I can, of trying to ask God, what would you have us do? Where direction would you have us go to be open up to what he is saying and where he might be leading? And I think through that process, there's a number of things that God has put on my heart for us. One of those things concerns this campaign, this Be Rich campaign for Christmas. And as I started to pray through just some of those things and ask God to speak, I started feeling really uncomfortable about our budget and our target for this. I just didn't feel right about it. And I didn't know why, because on paper it looked pretty good and it looked like a good plan, but I just kept coming back to it and I couldn't shake the feeling that something wasn't right about it. And so I kept praying, God, if that's true, would you just show me a different way? God, if this isn't just a feeling, if it's you speaking, I need you to give me some guidance. And I just kept praying through that. And there was two scriptures that I couldn't shake out of my head. They just kept coming back. I just kept thinking about them. I hadn't even been reading them. But then I started to read them and study them and look at them. I couldn't just, I just had this incredible fascination with them coming back. And I thought, maybe this is what God wants for us. And I'm going to warn you this morning. I don't know how it's going to go. I just, as I read both of these things, I've been so emotional about it. So I'm going to give it my best shot here. Bear with me. But Matthew 7, 21. This is the first one. It says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I read that, and first thing that stood out to me is he says, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord. Just because you say to Jesus, oh, you're my Lord, doesn't mean they will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that does not mean heaven after you die. The kingdom of heaven means when your life is fully submitted to the will of God, when our lives as individuals and collectively, even here and now in this world, become more representative of what God wants to do, we enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we do believe that one day we will enter fully in a way that we cannot now. But for now, we enter into a way of living when we actually follow Jesus, not just when we say, Lord, Lord, but when we do what God wants us to do, we enter into a whole new way of living, a way that is totally submitted to what God is doing. And so Jesus says, listen, not everybody who just says it, Lord, Lord, you're my Lord, but only people who actually do the will of God, who actually make me their Lord. That means they order their life as a result. And so you have these picture of people who come and they say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons and perform miracles? Didn't we do all these things that from a religious point of view looked like we were doing everything right? And he said, I never even knew you. I wasn't even in it. And so I was reading through this and I couldn't help but think, what if we did a bunch of things that look good from a religious point of view, but God wasn't in it? What if every week we came and we sang these songs? And what if every week we opened the Bible and read it? And what if every week we met in church and people looked around and say, oh, that's a nice church. What a cool church. You guys do these cool things. But what if we were doing all these things that looked really good religiously, like casting out demons and performing miracles that people would say, wow, God must be doing some things. And God wasn't in it. And I just thought, man, I never, ever, ever want to lead us in a direction that might look really good, but God is not in it. It's like the worst nightmare that we might go somewhere and think that great things are happening in the name of Jesus, and Jesus looking around going, that's not what I was asking you to do. And that just hit me. Man, we got to be listening. We got to be attentive. We got to be asking, what is it that Jesus is really calling us to do? Not just what looks good or feels good, not just what seems to be quote-unquote working some of the time. And then the second passage that I couldn't shake was from Matthew 25. And it says this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, again, this is Jesus speaking, and the Son of Man is him speaking about himself. It's this messianic title. The one that they were waiting for to come and do what God was going to do. When he comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And I just put those together. Not everybody who comes and says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody who looks like they're playing the part is actually following me into eternal life. You know, well, Jesus, what does that even look like? How would we do that? How do we make sure we're doing that? And then I come to this other passage, and he says, you know, when you saw people in need, and listen, both of these things, Matthew 7 and Matthew 25, it's such a surprise. Don't you love that? It's like people come and they're like, Lord, Lord, look at all these great things we did in your name. And here's the surprise. It's like, I wasn't even in that. I wasn't even there. I don't even know you. And then this one, you have the people, the sheep and the goats, and they're all confused. Both sides, even the people that did awesome stuff for the people who were in need, they're sitting there and go, when do we even see you? And you say, don't you realize I was in the help. I was in the things you were doing for those people. I was in those people. You were doing it for me. And could you just imagine what that would be like? You're sitting there in front of Jesus and he's just making all these judgments, and he says, you come on in. I mean, you made it. You got it. You fed all these people, and you clothed them, and you put them in prison, and you dealt with them when they were sick, and you said, I don't understand what that has to do with us. And he says, when you were doing it for them, you were doing it for me. That's it. That's what I asked you to do. That's where I was the whole time. And could you imagine if that was you, what that would be like? You just go, oh, yes, yes. And then he looks at the other group, and they're stuck just like the people saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these great things in your name? And he said, don't you understand? When you ignored the people in need, you were ignoring me. That's where I was, and you didn't go there. And you didn't help them. So what if we did all these religious types of things, which a lot of them I think are really important for us to do, but we neglected people in need? What if we weren't prioritizing people who had basic needs that are unmet? And I just started getting these pictures in my head, like images of what it would look like if we just went and fed people who are hungry. What it would look like if these kids who are going home hungry had someone feed them. And my mind was just flooded with these images, and emotion would just wave over me thinking, what are we doing? And so I dug a little bit more into Food for Kids and this organization that we want to partner with, and we've been doing some research. And so today, for the rest of our time, the next few minutes, I want to introduce them a little bit more to you. We're going to talk about them a lot over the next month. So start with this introductory video about who they are and what they do. So I was talking to the people at Food for Kids and met with them, and I asked them, it sounds like you're doing great things. What would you do if you had more money? This is an organization that's serving 1,200 kids in our city here in Hamilton at 60 schools, by the way, including Coots Paradise, Canadian Martyrs, Dalewood, Dundas Central, the schools where most of the kids from our church go to. This is our world. This is our city. And I said, what would you do if you had more money? What would you do if things were better? And they said, we're serving 1,200 kids in Hamilton at 60 schools, and there's still almost 100 kids on a wait list. So I called up our board members, and I said, hey, guys, I think we need to raise some more money this year. And I had this whole speech laid out for them and a whole bunch of reasons and Bible verses and stuff like that. And I just got, you know, like a sentence in, and they're like, yeah, we got it. Let's do that. Let's just do that. What if we prioritize that? I mean, what if it took us a little bit longer to do our offices, but we were able to feed 50 of those kids for a school year? I don't know. I'd sleep better. And so I said to them, hey, let's change our target. And they said, yeah, let's go for it. We need to be in the community and show this community that we love them, show our city what it's like to follow Jesus and to actually care. So here's our new target. We need to raise $50,000 to renovate our offices and youth room, video equipment, and to feed 50 kids for the entire school year, which is really nice for us to say. And we go, oh, that's great. We're going to raise more money and we're going to feed a bunch of kids. But it means that we almost doubled our target. So here's what I need you to do. My challenge to you today is I need you to calculate a reasonable number for you to give away and then double it and ask God to show up and get this done. Because that's what we did. We almost doubled this number. I don't know fully how we're going to get there unless we're all willing to take some steps of faith, collectively and as individuals, to sacrifice, to go deep, to look at our budgets, to look at what we have, to figure out what's a reasonable number and say, we're going above and beyond reasonable, so God, we need you to show up in this. We need you to be here because we believe what it looks like to follow Jesus is to see people in need and to care for those needs in practical ways that pulls them out of those situations. And we believe this is an organization that's doing incredible things, and there's 95 kids on a wait list that need to be fed, and I want to be part of that. Do you want to be part of that with us? So here's our goal. Between now and December 31st, we have 5 weeks, which is a really short amount of time, to raise $50,000. Here's how you can do it if you want to be part of it. Three different ways that you can give. Using envelopes, they look like this in the seat back in front of you. If you want to use cash or check, you can do that with any amount of money at any time. Just mark somewhere on here, just write Christmas somewhere on the envelope, or put it in the line that says special gift, the part of whatever you're giving that you want to go to this project. Write Christmas, we'll make sure that it gets designated and go to these three projects. At our terminal, on any Sunday that we're here, including this year, it's not a Sunday, but Christmas Eve, we'll have it open for you during that service time. credit or debit card. And again, just tell the door holder, whoever's there at the giving station, that it's for Christmas or whatever portion of what you're giving is for Christmas. They will record it and make sure it gets in there. Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, using your credit card, there is a drop-down menu called Giving Type, and you'll see a few options. One of them is Christmas. So hopefully you're getting the message, just Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. You put Christmas on it, we'll make sure it gets to these projects. And we're going to give it a whirl. We're going to see what we can do. I really believe, and we say this all the time here at Westside, if you've been around for a while, you've heard this. I really believe that God wants us to create irresistible environments. I believe he wants us to take care of our building, do the youth room, do the offices, eventually get work done up here. I really believe that God wants us to create irresistible environments, but I know that God wants us to feed hungry children. There's no doubt. It's right there. It's what Jesus told us to do. I know he wants us to do it. And what I told you at the beginning of this is that I believe, what I believe about us is that we're not a church that wants to sit around and do religious things that might look good, but we're on mission to make a difference for the kingdom of Jesus. That's what this is all about. That's why I'm asking you to sacrifice. That's why I'm asking you to figure out a way to be part of this. It's a month till Christmas from today. Incredible. I'll tell you the truth. Between now and Christmas, I'm going to spend a little bit more money on food this month, the celebrations that we have. I'm going to spend a little bit of money that I normally don't spend on gifts for family and stuff like that. And there's a lot of great things that we can do with our money at Christmas time that I think God is happy about, and to have fun and to celebrate and all those things. But here's what I know. Whatever else we do with our money this Christmas, there's a lot of good things. I know he wants us to care for those who are in need. What would it look like if we went out and showed the world, showed our city, showed hungry children that we are a group of people who is not just concerned with looking like we are good religious people, but that we are concerned about them? Let's go and do it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your heart. Thank you that you love people who are in need, because we're all people who are in need. Thank you, God, that you've given us and provided us with so much. We are truly blessed. We are rich. God, I pray that you would encourage us and embolden us, motivate us to be rich in generosity and good works. God, our heart longs for people in our city, all around us, who don't have the basic needs of life provided for them. We hurt for children who need food on a weekly basis. God, would you help us to be the kind of people who do whatever it takes to make sure that we can solve some of those problems, that we can show up for those people. God, would you show us that that's where you are? You are in people who are in need. God, may we go and face-to-face help them, care for them, provide for them. We pray that you would do something about the needs in our city, these children who need to be fed. And God, we want to be part of it. And so would you show up in a way that is above and beyond what we could normally expect of ourselves? Would you do things through this campaign that we can't do without you? God, we've set a target that is bold, that probably is beyond what we can reasonably do. So we are asking by your Holy Spirit that you would do something that is totally unexpected, and that you would show up, and that you would help us to reach this target. Not to reach a target, but to care for people that you love, that we love, to care for our city. And we will do all these things in the precious and powerful name of Christ Jesus. Amen.